Colossians chapter 4. All right. We're probably going to kind of get close to finishing up, if not finishing up in Colossians today. And as we look at this last chapter, a lot of times I'll divide up the chapters into smaller bites just to see, you know, there's different concepts that we can take out of them. Today we're going to kind of look at the broad view of this chapter just a little bit. And I think something you're going to see out of this is that God wants us, first of all, to be kingdom-minded. Do I get an amen? Kingdom-minded. We need to be thinking about God's kingdom, not just ours, right? And now the world's going to tell you otherwise. The world's going to tell you, be all about you. You know, we've got all these self-hyphenated words. Name off some of the self words, you know. Self-esteem. Self-help. Do we have some more? Self-confidence. Selfish. We don't even need a hyphen on that one, do we? All right. Do we have any other self words out there? Self-love? Self-loving? Self-motivated? Self-serving? Self-sufficiency? Anna had one back there. What'd you say? Self-indulgent. Oh, boy. Yeah, you guys are coming up. Man, you're good participants this morning. We got self-denial. We got all these really good self-words. Yeah. You know, guys, Satan's all about self. Did you know that? That's what got him thrown out of heaven. He was an angel at one point. We understand from the scripture, it explains it to us a little bit, that his name was Lucifer. He was a beautiful angel who was in charge of kind of like the music worship in heaven. And you know what he did? He decided he wanted the worship for himself. And I'm just going to tell you, self is probably the biggest god that we have got to overcome. The biggest idol is to overcome self. The best way to do that is to get our eyes on Jesus and to ask him to cultivate in us a heart for his kingdom. To see his kingdom come and his will be done. You remember Jesus kind of put that in a model prayer, didn't he? And our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That's what God wants us to be about. Those aren't just words to say. It's a concept for us to desire. Not only that, he wants us to do it together. Togetherness in the church. How amazing is that? That's God's vision for the church. Okay? You know, I like to think about it a little bit from the issue of family, because as we talked about earlier in Colossians, this is like a big family, and it's made up of families. But he wants the families to come together and be family. And he wants his children to be close. How many of you guys, have experienced the closeness of a family that really loves one another, or even just seen it from afar? I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And I can just say, that's what God wants. Have you ever experienced a family that has a lot of strife? You ever experienced that? What's that like? It's not cool. That's not what God wants. He wants the opposite. Now, we're going to read chapter 4, keeping that in mind today. And so I'm going to read the whole chapter, kind of together. And do y'all think you can stand for 18 verses? It'll just take a couple minutes. Let's go ahead and stand for reading God's Word. If you can. If you can't, I understand. No one's going to look down on you. Chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. We all have the same master. Do I get an amen? Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the Word. God's kingdom is what He wants us to be about. To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Hey, boys, I'm hearing a lot of talk. Joe, go sit with your mom. She's right back there. All right. Meanwhile, praying also for us, I'll repeat verse 3, that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you with this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. With Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphis and the church that is in his house. Now, when this apostle is read among you, see that it is read also to the church of the Laodiceans, that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, as we have read this amazing ending to this letter that our dear brother Paul wrote the rest of the church, let us take it personally. Let us realize that even without him knowing it, he wrote it to us as well, almost 2,000 years later, to still be an example of what a Christian family, the body of Christ looks like. Lord, help us to examine this. Help us to look at this scene. Lord, we watch things on TV and in big screen movies, and we let the visual go into our mind. Help us to put these words into a visual and imagine these men who were around Paul ministering to him in this situation and ministering to others, desiring to see the kingdom of God spread like fire across the world. Let us imagine where their desire was. Help us to model that in our own lives, to have that kind of connection and togetherness right here in Cadet Baptist Church. Help us to have the same vision, your vision. Help us to look to you, and I pray you'll teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. All right, guys, you can have a seat. We're going to kind of break this down. Guys, we see that we see things about the gospel. We see things about how they would minister. We see all these things at the beginning of this chapter, but toward the end of the chapter, I wanted to look at the end first, because what we see is he wants us to do it together. Do I get an amen? There's not just one minister in the room. Every blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ is a minister of the gospel. Do I get an amen? It's all about us reaching out to do our part in the body of Christ. I want you to think about this little statement that he makes about this one named Jesus who is called Justice. He says, and he talks about these others who are Greeks, and he says, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. And these were the Jews who were working alongside of him in these Greek regions. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Now, I want you to think about this togetherness that he's talking about. Where is Paul at this point? Can anybody tell me? Because he mentions it. He's in prison. This man is in prison for the faith. He's like he very well could die soon because of these charges that are brought against him. You know, he wouldn't have had to been in prison if he just would have not done what God said. But you see, God told him to take the gospel, and Paul obeyed God's voice, and he's sitting in prison, and guess what? He's got people who are voluntarily staying with him. At least some of these are voluntarily staying with him. He only names one of them. That's one of his fellow prisoners. But what I'm saying is of the circumcision party, of the Christians who came from a Jewish descent, These guys loved him so much that they were like willingly giving up their freedom to go anywhere they want, and they were staying anchored to Paul until he gave them their next instructions of where to go. I want you to think about the type of commitment that we're talking about here. You know, I made jokes from time to time about, you know, if they were to ever just get to where they didn't like the types of teachings that we had here in this church, that, you know, they might come and haul, you know, at least me off to jail, because I'm kind of like the ringleader sometimes and doing the preaching, you know. And I've often said, well, Bill said he'd come and visit me. But my question is, would you come and stay with me and minister to me? Would you be willing, if you felt like I was the called man, to help be the shepherd of this church, the under-shepherd of this church, would you be willing, because of the cause of Christ, to minister to a fellow brother, irregardless of whether it was me or anybody? I'm telling you, this is a high calling that he's calling us to love each other in this way. Okay, now thankfully, they're not hauling people off to prison right now in the United States of America because of preaching the gospel. Do I get an amen? You know, guys, if we're not vigilant, it may start happening soon. But it isn't happening yet, and so we're thankful for that. But what about when your brother or sister is just downright discouraged and they may need somebody to come to their side, to love on them, to help bear their burden for a little while, to help maybe give a little guidance, to help in whatever way that they might need a little hand? How about, would you be willing to do it for Jesus if he were to tap you on the shoulder and show you that person he wants to connect you with? That fellow brother or sister that might be discouraged. I think this is the kind of connection that God wants us to keep within the family of God, to actually open up our life and to do life with those individuals that are part of our family. I know some of you guys are already doing that, and I want to say, praise God, keep up the good work, keep on keeping on. But I'm going to say, this is how the kingdom of God goes forward. This is how others are drawn in to the kingdom as well, is as we love one another. In fact, Jesus commanded togetherness, didn't he? He literally commanded togetherness. In John 13, verses 34 through 35, he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Let's read that together. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. How many different ways could he have put it? How many different ways could he repeat it? Because he really wants us to get it and to live it and to actually have love for one another. And this doesn't just mean when it's convenient. This doesn't just mean whenever it's easy. This means when that other person is in need of love, and we go to their aid and we connect with them, what happens is the kingdom is glorified and the kingdom expands because of that love. First within the body of Christ and then continuing outside of that, because it shows others, hey, I want to be a part of that. I want to be part of that. I want to have what they have. You see, part of it is being a witness, right? And so as we're doing this together, we are being a witness. And then he wants us to reach out as a witness as well. And so, you know, the word for witness in the scripture is actually martyr. And it's the same word that's the root for martyr. And so a lot of us would say, well, I don't want to be a martyr. Martyrs have to die. Well, you know what, guys? To come to Christ, we're supposed to already be dying to ourselves. We've got to die to ourselves to come to Christ. So the decision should have already been made at that point. And as we have died to ourselves to live for Christ, then it would only be natural for us to be a witness for Jesus. Go ahead and go to that next slide there, guys. So the second thing I really want us to go over is you should be a witness for Jesus. You know, a lot of times in my sermons, I'll say I or we. And today, I just thought, I'm just going to say you. Because it's for me. And I'm a you to somebody else when you look at me. But you know, I'm going to make this thing personal today. You are supposed to be a witness for Jesus. Do I get an amen? If you claim to be his child, then what we see here, backing up in this chapter a little bit, verses 3 through 5, meanwhile praying also for us. We kind of covered this last week, but I think it bears repeating. That God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Guys, even if they put us in prison for it, we need to make sure that we know it is our responsibility to be the witness. Okay, I'm going to tell you a tale of two countries. I won't make it real long. But you got two countries that were persecuted by communism, okay, that I'm going to give you as an example. One is Russia. Russia was taken over by a communist regime, and I can just tell you, communism is evil, and I'm just going to be blunt about it. It's from Satan. Marx was actually a worshiper of Satan. You can read about it in a book called Marx and Satan. He actually dedicated the whole thing of his idea to Lucifer, who was, he felt like the king over all kings, and so he, the great deceiver, and it's a very deceptive form of government that has to become God for it to even be able to take over. And so they went in, they took over Russia, and because the Russian church had been kind of founded on Catholicism and things of that nature and variants of that, you know, you had the Orthodox Church, which kind of broke off of Catholicism, that operates a lot in the same way, that you've got the priests who do the ministry and you got the big building that represents God, and that's where all the religious activity happens. I can tell you, during the early years of communism, the church just all but died in Russia. Now, eventually, God raised up an underground church who began to again rebuild the worship of the true living God in the Russian, you know, underground. Now, I'm going to tell you a story about another country called China. And I can say that the same type of form of government came in and actually came in by force and did the same types of things. You will find that tens of millions of people were killed when both of these regimes took over. They exterminate anybody who's a dissenter. They have to, or it just doesn't work. They tried to set up the government as God, and they've started a whole new realm of persecution again just this year in China. Here was the difference, guys. The Chinese church flourished and continued to flourish. It continued to grow. It was like trying to stamp out leaves that are on fire. It just spread it all over the place. And I'll tell you what the biggest difference was. The Chinese church was already built on the premise that everybody who came to Christ was automatically a minister of the gospel. That they understood from the get-go that the very first thing they were to do as a new believer was to learn how to share their faith. And therefore, no matter how Satan tried to stop the church, what they found was it only spread the believers with the persecution, just like happened in Jerusalem way back when the church began. So, you know what? The reason why I'm taking time to say this is there are groups and people in our nation that would love to try to stop the spread of Christianity. But I think that if all the pastors in the American Christian Church will help to encourage their congregations to understand that you are the ministers, then there is no government in the world that can stop the progression of the church in Jesus Christ, if we understand that one thing. Take responsibility for the spread of the gospel yourself, because Jesus gave you that responsibility. He gave each and every blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ the responsibility to share the gospel. And Paul went on to say that I may make manifest as I ought to speak as well. And you know, whenever I broke that down, he's asking them to pray for him. And what I found out is as you pray for others to be bold, it'll make you bolder too. Have you ever noticed that? And so he's asking them to remind him to be bold, because he wanted to be even more bold than what he was already bold. And I don't think I've ever met anybody who's as bold as Paul. But he's saying, pray for me because I want to be bolder. And you know what was happening? They were becoming more bold as well. And whenever I broke down that little part of that sentence, as I ought to speak, the last part of that verse, as I ought to speak. That I ought is actually a combination of a couple Greek words that means it compels me. As it compels me to speak. Are you compelled by the fact that you are saved by the blood of Jesus and His grace that was poured out? Does it compel you to want other people to know the same thing? It needs to compel you, because as you're being compelled by that, you're showing you're actually thankful for it. You see, my mom right now is taking cancer treatments. And I can tell you that if these treatments really help her, I am going to be compelled to tell people with a similar disease to go and try this cure that God blessed to maybe help cure her. You see, and I know only God can actually help her, so I'm going to point them to Him first. But you know, God also blesses treatments. I understand that as well. So I might be very willing, if I knew that it was actually helpful, I would be compelled to tell everyone who needed the same thing to go to the same place and find the same help. But you know what's so sad? Is oftentimes we don't share the cure for sin. And I can tell you, cancer is not the big enemy. Death is not the biggest enemy. Sin is the biggest enemy. And the awesome thing is, there's a cure for it. Jesus paid the price. But if we don't have the cure, your sin is going to make you spend an eternity in hell if you don't deal with your relationship with Christ here. And that's not just true for you. It's true for every person that breathes on the face of this earth. This was very important, and it should compel us to speak. Guys, I know speaking probably may not be everybody's thing, and you probably find it hard to believe, but there was a point in time in my life that you would not have been able to drag me up in front of you to try to speak today. But here's the deal. We got to at least be willing, and if we're willing, God will meet our willingness with everything else we need. We just need to be willing out of our thankfulness for what Jesus has done, to be a witness for Jesus. In fact, He says, if we're ashamed of Him on earth, He'll be ashamed of us whenever we stand before our Father in heaven. I don't know. Does that bother anybody else? I can tell you it's what compels the persecuted church to speak, even when they know it could possibly mean their life, their very life. So God wants us to do it together. And He wants us to be a witness for Him together. He wants us to have organized efforts through the church, the body of Christ, to do this very thing. Number three, you should walk wisely among those outside the church. Guys, it's one thing to speak, but they're also going to look at what do we do. Do I get an amen to that? I'm going to throw something out there. You are being watched. I got one amen. Okay, I'm going to say it again. You are being watched. Okay, now everybody say, sure, God's watching all the time. It's true, God is watching all the time. But I'm going to tell you, your neighbors and your family members and the people that you've spoken to at work and the people around you, anybody who knows that you come to this church or even get around the church or breathe the word of God at all, they're watching you to see how real it is by whether or not you're really living it. And so I think that's the kind of wisdom. You see, knowledge is knowing something. That's where you get the word know, you know, fits into that word, is the root of knowledge. Okay, knowledge is knowing something. Wisdom is knowing what to do with it. Wisdom is how to live out the knowledge, how to put it into motion, how to use it properly. And He says, walk in wisdom. Don't just walk in knowledge. Don't just tell everybody what you know, but walk in wisdom. Put it into practice toward those who are outside. Guys, what does He mean by those who are outside? The lost, the unbelievers, those who are outside of the body of Christ, those who are not saved yet, those who may be still under Satan's deception, those who are just maybe ignorant of the real facts that are there. He's saying, that as we are witnesses and as we speak and as we are doing it together, make sure that you are walking in wisdom toward those who are outside of the church, redeeming the time. You know what, guys? Time is short. Time is at hand. Time is of the essence. Time is the only thing we don't get more of. Time is the only thing we only really get to do once. I can tell you every tick of that clock is a tick that you will never relive. You will never get that opportunity again. Don't waste time. Do I get an amen? Don't waste time when it comes to the gospel. I've told this story before. I'll tell it again because it bears repeating. My dad's uncle came through for a visit. He lived in West Virginia and part of the time in Baltimore, Maryland. He stopped for a brief visit with his sister, who was my grandma, Nanny. Many of you guys met Nanny, used to come to church here. We all met at her house. The rest of my family was really not following Christ at the time. It was only me and Shelly that were following Christ at the time. I was a very young believer. His name was Mason, super nice guy. Everybody loved Mason. We all loved to see him. Got to hear about all the different things that he might have been doing or was going to do or had just done. He was a very vibrant man, but I didn't know if he knew Christ. And after I came to Christ, we were sitting there in that room together, and I kept thinking, I need to find some way to ask this man, does he know Jesus? Does he have a relationship with Jesus? And you know, I listened to all the doubts and all the accusations of Satan that I wasn't the right person to do it and I didn't do it. And I walked away from there regretting that I didn't do it even that day. Do you know that less than a week after that, that man dropped dead of a massive stroke? I kept thinking, well, maybe I'll do it the next time I see him. Guys, I never saw him again. I never saw him again, and I don't know if I'll see him in heaven again. And you know, I know because God is sovereign that he may have somewhere down the road. But I just know that sovereign God put it in my heart to say something, and I didn't. And so I take responsibility for that today. And all I want to say is, it taught me one thing. It taught me, well, actually a couple things. Don't waste time. Because you won't get a second chance. Sometimes. And you never get a second chance at that moment. And the second thing was, be a witness when you get the opportunity. Just obey God. And you know, since then, I try to be a lot more prompt with my obedience to Christ. Whenever he puts it in my heart, I just, you know, the best way to counter fear is just go ahead and take the plunge. Did you ever jump off a cliff into the water before? You could convince yourself this probably isn't going to hurt me. But man, that's a long ways down. And you stand there, and if you stand there long enough, you can talk yourself out of it, right? But boy, you know, I remember as a kid, just if you really wanted to do it, the best thing to do was just do it. Just get it over with. We had this rope swing when I was a kid. We swam out and into the river, and you know, you had to let go at the right time. If you didn't let go at the right time, things didn't go well. You just had to let go and let God. And that's what I want you to do. When God prompts your heart to speak to somebody about Christ, don't talk yourself out of it. Just do it. You know, just do it. We use that term. You know, Nike stole that term. I'll probably get a copyright thing or something or a trademark thing come back at me. But guys, in a good way, following Christ is about just doing it. Just seize the moment. Take the moment in Christ that he tells you. You know, and what I also did from there with my experience with my dad's uncle, I started being a little more concerned with making sure I was prepared to share the gospel with other people. It's really good to be prepared. Know the gospel. What happened to you? Know your personal testimony. Remember where you were before you met Christ, how you met Christ, and where you're at now after you met Christ. Have a prepared way of sharing that in a couple minutes or less. What has God done for you? Be ready to be that witness for Christ. Be ready to walk wisely among those outside of the church. Let your life be a witness. But yes, you need to speak. Number four, you should speak graciously. Guys, here's the deal. If it ain't out of love, forget it. It ain't even going to get off the ground with people. You know, Paul told us that in the love chapter of the Bible. Even if you got prophecy and all this stuff, chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians, even if you got this and you got that gift and you got all these different gifts, if you don't have love, you don't have anything. We really need to operate out of the spirit of love, and it needs to be gracious. Let your love always be with, or your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. You know, Jesus told us we were the salt of the earth, didn't he? And if the salt lost its saltiness, what good was it but to be thrown out and trampled? You see, guys, salt is a seasoner. It makes things better. Did you ever try eating a fried egg without any salt on it? You know, you may say I can do it as long as it's fried in bacon grease, right? That's got enough salt for both. But like, if you just try to take that fried egg and you just try to eat without any salt, it's pretty flavorless. I mean, it ain't bad. It'd be better than nothing. Boy, you put a little salt on that thing. We had baked potatoes last night. Man, I like baked potatoes. Put salted butter in it. Put some salted sour cream in it. And then you dump some salt on top of that, right? And it brings out the flavor of the potato. Here's the deal, guys. Whenever you're speaking to somebody, you let it be seasoned with salt of Christ in you and the love of Christ through you. And the only way that you can really do that is if you're spending some time with him. I'm just going to be upfront with you. It ain't something we conjure up. It ain't something we fake. Have you ever had somebody try to fake it with you? It shows through, right? You know? But like, when it's genuine, it's really coming out of a relationship with Christ, then he says that you may know how you ought to answer each one. You know, the way we do this is by being seasoned with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And then it's going to show through, and it's going to show through in the way we walk. It's going to show through in the way we speak. If you're spending time with Jesus first thing in the morning before you even head out the door, then whenever you encounter that person that you ought to speak, you're going to feel compelled to, because, guys, it's just going to be right at the forefront of who you are. If you're not spending any time with Christ, you know what? You'll think about it later and you'll think, boy, I probably should have. Or, man, I wish I wouldn't have. But if you're spending time with him first thing, guys, what you'll do is he'll be at the forefront of your mind. He's going to be the one leading the charge. He's going to be the one speaking through you. Your speech will be more seasoned, more salted with his kindness and his goodness. And you'll be redeeming the time. You'll be delivering that time. You'll be buying back that time that's going to get wasted otherwise. You won't be spending it in futility. You'll be putting God first, and you're going to see God moving through your life. You see, here's the thing, guys. We really just absolutely need to be living for Jesus as we go. As we go. You know, a lot of times the Christian community has kind of made it like where we do life together, and that means somehow we're doing life like separate from the church and separate from the body of Christ, and we do life, you know, with each other like, and it's not connected. He wants us to do life together connected. You see, he wants us to encourage others and go shopping with them and do these different things and have them over to our house for dinner, and then he wants to be the centerpiece all the time. You see, he wants us to work together and you know, yeah, we have more than one service. A lot of churches are getting criticized about that these days. Well, you should only just have one service because you're taking too much family time away from people. You know what, guys? I bring my whole family to church, and I did before I was the pastor. We spend that time together, and then we talk about it later together. You see, we come on Wednesday night to the service, and we work together. We've been seeing so much working together that's increasing in the church. And you know, the church is really beginning to be blessed by all the togetherness and the working together. There have been times when there was just a couple people trying to hold together a little bit of this or a little bit of that type of ministry. But guys, it's for all of us to do together, to be agreed and move forward. You know, if you come on a Wednesday night, you'll probably get a really good meal, too. Because we've got some folks that are putting together awesome meals and bringing them for Wednesday night for the children and for the adults. We had pizza last week. I get an amen? It was good, too. And there was plenty. There was more than enough for everybody. You see, we made God our centerpiece last week. It's Wednesday night. And God blessed our fellowship, too. We made God our centerpiece last Sunday morning and this Sunday morning. And God blesses us in our fellowship, too. We're going to make God our centerpiece on Sunday night. And the Bible, the Word of God, is going to be central. And you're going to learn new stuff that you can put into practice in your life. Let's do it together. Amen? Let's reach out to this world together. You know, I can tell you, I run into people all over the county. And they say, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm pastor. Where at? Cadet Baptist Church. We've heard about your church. We've heard about your church. And they may not be coming yet, but they've heard about us because we do affect the community and we need to do it even more. But you know, it's got to be more than just one or two. It needs to be all of us affecting the community together. So I want to say, praise God for everybody who's serving. If you want to find a place to serve, there's a place for you to serve here. There's something that you can do to help the body of Christ here. For all those that teach, I want to say praise God for you. Thank you. Continue to serve God that way. Thank you for the preparations you do through the week to be able to teach. For those who give and for those who go, praise God, you will have a reward in heaven. You know, for all those things you do for Christ. But here's the deal. Let's do it together. It pleases God when we do it together. Look at all those names that are written there. I'm going to point out a couple of those names, by the way. Verse 9, Onesimus. Does anybody know who Onesimus is? He's a runaway slave. He probably met Paul in prison. Now he's served his time, would be my guess. Paul's not only sending him back to this church, he's sending him back to his master Philemon. Read the book of Philemon, and you'll see. Paul said, it's not right for me to keep another man's servant or slave. I'm going to send him back there. And then he had him carry a letter back to Philemon, who Paul led to the Lord, and said, this man left an escaped slave. He's returning back to you a brother. Now you need to treat him that way. I'm going to tell you, that is an awesome relationship. There's another one there, Mark, the cousin to, isn't that what it says there? Which verse is that? Cousin of Barnabas. I want you to know, because of a little rift between Mark and Paul at one point, it doubled the mission effort. So they had a little fight because Mark ran off on him one time when he was young on a mission journey, and He left him high and dry. Next time Mark wanted to go, Paul said, forget it, I'm not going with him. So Barnabas said, fine, I'll go with him. And Paul wound up getting Silas to go with him, doubled the mission effort, and now they are reconciled. And Paul is calling him out as a man who's useful to him, that they needed to receive him no matter where he went. He's writing letters for him now of commendation, recommending him to the rest of the church. Brothers and sisters, God wants us to reconcile. Whenever we may have a problem, we're sinful individuals in this place, right? We're all sinners who know where to find salvation and where to find our help. And guess what? Sometimes we even have little problems. Do I get an amen? God wants us to stick it out and to find ways to reconcile for the sake of the gospel. Man, does that ever speak volumes to the outside world? Amen? Guys, I'm going to pray for us. Then we're going to have a time of invitation. Dear Father, I pray that those of us in the family of Christ will learn for sure and 100% that you want us to do this thing together. If the togetherness of the church is very valuable and important. In fact, we even see at the end of that letter, Paul is reminding them to remind this other gentleman who surrendered to a special call of ministry that he needs to continue on in it. We need that accountability. That's part of it. But Lord, we need to encourage each other daily as it is today to follow you, that we would do it together and stay united, and that we would win this community to Christ. Lord, we believe you want to do that and you want to do it through us. So help us, Lord. We know we can't force anybody to become a Christian. And you know who are yours, but we don't. So you just want to send us out to everybody. And Lord, you are going to call the people. You're going to do the calling in their hearts. But you want us to do the calling on the outside through proclaiming the gospel. So Lord, bless this congregation. And I thank you for the togetherness that we have experienced. I've been here almost 12 years now, 11 and a half years. I want to praise you for the togetherness that we have experienced, but I want to pray that you would give us even closer togetherness in the future. That we would add to the number daily as we live and we walk wisely with wisdom among the outside world, that more people would be drawn in. And so, Father, please just do a mighty work here. If there's anything that I need to repent of, anything that any of us need to repent of, I think this would be a great time for us to meet with you. And so, Lord, we call it our invitation. And it's just an invitation for each person to respond to whatever God is saying to them right now. For some, it may be church membership. And maybe they've been here for a while. They realize they need to join. Identify with the togetherness of the group. Make a commitment. To others, it may be unto salvation. They may have realized today, wow, I'm a sinner. And I've never surrendered to Jesus. They may need to find that true forgiveness right there at the foot of the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for us. Thank you rose again on the third day. Thank you that you're at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us right now. Help us to carry out the calling that you've called us for. In Jesus' name, amen.